All right, so this is a different weekend. You know, for one, we have some students that we don't usually. It would have been junior high weekend, and not only that, we have our kinder through fifth that are in the room too, so it's a little bit different. And not only that, we got to wear our jerseys, and so I'm looking around, what y'all got? I mean, that's all right. I like that. You know, I was putting this on, and I was thinking to myself, I just hope that as I'm walking around today, nobody confuses me actually with Tony Dorsett, because that, you know... What am I saying? That couldn't happen. I'm like an inch taller. So that's never going to happen. You know, oh boy. So 1998, March 1st, 1998, my life was changed forever. I became a Christ follower. You know, I was hanging out in the bar the night before, and I didn't see it coming. But and when I talk about a life change, if you knew me before, I mean, man, I'm telling you, the night and day, and I didn't plan it. I didn't know when I wasn't a church person, I showed up to church, that your life's going to change forever. If someone would have told me that, I would not have shown up. I mean, you know, and so, but from that day, I mean, complete life change. My purpose changed, my perspective changed, my hope, my relationship, my mission, my joy, everything changed. Nobody saw it coming, especially me. And so when I started reading the Bible, because I was intimidated by it like a lot of you, but I started to read it, and I read Psalm 116, and the very first two verses, when I read them, it just became my life verse, because it just made so much sense to me. And the verse says, it won't be up there, it's, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Well, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on his name as long as I live. And so that's what I've done. I mean, I failed along the way, but I mean, he's what I'm about. And, but I mean, I'm talking life change though. And so when I look around, in our culture, what I see, and I think you see it as well, is that most people have not experienced that kind of life change, right? Just haven't. And, this has led to what I call a problem we've talked about in the past. And so here's the problem. I'm gonna leave that up for a second. Here's the problem. People don't believe God's awesome, that the church is worthwhile, and that their lives can really change the world. So I'll explain that. So they don't believe. People would be, well, I mean, I've prayed, not heard anything. And I guess if I give him credit for creation and all that stuff, I mean, but I don't think I've ever, people feel this. God's never really been awesome in my life. Like, he's never taken my breath away. He's never done something that I was like, wow, I can't. I mean, so most people don't believe God's awesome. And well, the church, a lot of people just think, you know, when it comes to my best of my focus, the best of my time, the best of my energy, the best of my money, the best of who I am, the best of my influence, well, it really goes to other areas. It doesn't really go towards the church. And so I think most people don't really think that the church is really worthwhile. And that last one. We all have a desire down deep to change the world, every single one of us, but then life just knocks it out. So most people don't believe, yeah, it was a dream, changing the world, but then after a while it seems more just like a fairy tale. That's the problem. And I tell you something, when I look at that and when I look at the influence in people's lives and just what's happened, I'm not a real sensitive guy. You might know that about. I'm just not, you know. So not a lot of things really break my heart. But that, right there, that breaks my heart. It's a problem. But I'll tell you something, though. What makes my heart skip a beat is when God gets real for someone. When people actually walk in faith, I mean, it's big stuff, it's small stuff. Like last week, we had a few of our students that took a few steps of faith, and they were nervous about some stuff, but they went for it. And to me, nothing just brings me more joy, and I'm just cheering them on. I'm like, man, that's what I'm talking about. That's what it looks like to walk in faith. I wish I had done that. They're teenagers, and they're doing what most adults, you know, refuse to do. And I love it. And that's what makes my heart actually skip a beat, when God's real. When someone says, I can't believe it. And I can't explain it, but God really is working in my life, and I know it. I mean, it's not some sort of thing that, like, well, I know he protected me through all that because I shouldn't even be around anymore, and, you know, and he's just good. And I mean, I'm not talking about generic stuff. I'm talking about I know it. I feel it. God's really working in my life. I never sensed it before, but I sense it now. I can't explain it. And so when that happens, I mean, that, you can't even describe it. Unless you felt it, you can't describe it. And you know what's even better than that? Is that when people are experiencing that, and they're experiencing that with other people. Life is just better together. It doesn't matter how quiet you are, how outgoing you are. It doesn't matter. Life is just better together. That's why if you see like a sunset that's just awesome, that's why you go, hey, look at that. You know, that's why you take your phone, you take a picture, and you put it on, you know, social media. Because it never really happened if it's not on social media. So you put it there because you want to share it with other people, right? In fact, it says share. Boom, you want to share it. You know, and that's why that if you're by yourself and you see that sunset, you're like, man, I wish you were here. I wish you wouldn't believe it. I mean, here's the picture, but it's not the same. I wish you were here to see it. Life's better together. We share the best things. And that's the truth. The best of things we want to share. That's why when we go to a restaurant that we love, we tell people, you got to try it. That's why when people are like, hey, did you go see Star Wars? I saw Star Wars. You haven't seen it? I want to tell you what happened right now. I want to tell you what happens. But you got to go see it because we want to share the best things. And there is nothing that is better than a relationship with God. Even if you don't know it yet, even if you're in that category, because that's not just people who are not part of a church. That's people within the church. And you might not have experienced God working in your life that way, but it's real and it happens all the time. It's been happening forever. Wow. I tell you, the way that looks, how does it look when people are actually growing in that kind of a faith, all right? How does it look? Well, let me show you three relationships. They're called vital relationships. And so it's when people are growing in intimacy with God. And what I mean by that, that's like you're really getting to know somebody. Like the details, you're knowing them. You feel like, man, he really knows me. And I'm sharing my secrets with him. You know, you're growing in that. And you're like, I can't believe it. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was just some just kind of throw up stuff. And maybe you pray, maybe you don't. But this feels like I'm getting really to know him. And I already know he knows me. That's the first one. A community with insiders. I don't mean insiders like we're on the inside. I mean it's just people who are part of the church. That's all I mean. But you're growing. You love one another. You hang out with one another. You laugh with one another. You share stories with one another. I mean, it's just kind of growing in that relationship. You're growing in how you walk in your faith, and that's a beautiful thing. And the last one's influence with those who are not really part of the church yet, right? And it's really, it's just, you love people. You serve people. You help people. And you do it just because you love people, right? And ultimately, it'd be great. You just, man, you want them to know. You want them to experience what you've experienced in the Lord. So that's kind of what it looks like. If you wanted to boil it down, and I didn't make that up, that comes from what we call the Great Commission, the Great Mission, the Great Commandment. And that's, you know, Great Commandments, love God, love others, to paraphrase it, right? The Great Commission is basically go and share your faith. Go tell people what you've seen and heard. That's all that is, you know, and so we just kind of break it down that way. Now, if I could pick anything for you, anything, if God said to me, however he would, whatever you want for them, they have it. Anything. It wouldn't be to heal you. It wouldn't be to help you be rich. You know, it wouldn't help you to have fame or to be great at that sport or in that instrument or technology. It wouldn't be any of that stuff. What I would want for you is that. Every single one of you, if God said one thing, just one thing for every single one of you, it would be that. Now for me, I'd ask for a Lamborghini. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I want too. But that's what I continually pray for myself, and that's what I continually pray for the people of our church and the friends that we have. But that's it. So we were, I was with Mark and Kathy Morphew, and Jason was with me. The kids were playing before Belen was around. And it was months before we said, we're going to start the Story Church, all right? And so they said, well, what's the vision? And when I say the vision, what I mean is like, it's like if everything went, if we start a church, and if everything went like I dreamed, what do I picture actually happening? Like, it's in my mind, but I can almost see it. It's like I can taste it. It's like it's there. It's like it seems unreachable, but I believe it could happen. You know, and so I thought, and I kind of said a few things, but ultimately what I talked about, it wasn't about a building. It wasn't about a Sunday gathering. What I pictured was people growing in that with each other. I pictured what we were doing in that moment. We were talking about our hopes, and we're talking about our fears, and we were making, if you know Mark, he's going to make a joke. We were telling jokes, and we were laughing, and we were just hanging out. So most people don't have that. A lot of people have good friends. That's great. But I'm talking about something richer and deeper where you're actually growing in your faith. That's what I pictured. I didn't picture a building. I didn't picture a large group of people. I pictured people everywhere. I pictured people in coffee shops and in classrooms and in hallways and in the offices and on the team and at cookouts, at the pool, at the bar, everywhere. I pictured people growing in that, just taking steps, just taking from wherever they are, just taking a step. That's all we can do. We can't become the thing. We can take a step from where we are. And that is what I dream. And that's what I still dream today. Now, we're all used to relationships and circumstances breaking us down. You can relate with that, right? You know what that feels. That's what it feels like life can be sometimes. But very few of us know what it's like. A few of us have tasted what it feels like to have other people and ultimately the Lord feel like it's breathing life into you. You feel like you're just getting larger and it's not about you, but you just feel like, wow, I have new life. Most people haven't experienced that, but it's there for you. And it looks like that. And that right there is what I dream about. And that's what I dream about. Because when people are growing in those relationships, it helps marriages, it helps people who are single, it helps people, it helps the students, you know, with decision making. It helps you. I mean, it helps you in more ways that you could imagine. And so it's the dream that God has given me. And here's the thing. You know, before I mention the problem that people don't think God's awesome, that the church is worthwhile, and that their lives can change the world, what I'm talking about is actually a solution to the problem. If you're a leader, then you know if you have a vision, then that vision must solve a problem. And so our vision solves a problem. And so this is kind of how we say our vision. It's when we become a church where the life change is so contagious that we can't possibly keep it to ourselves. Let's leave that up for a little bit. So for you, and you might think, is that really? But it's where you have the type of faith that you just like, it's like the new, like when you watch Star Wars and you go, oh, I just want to tell people. You know, but it's the type of faith that you actually, no matter how much you tried, you just can't keep it to yourself. And you're like, well, I never thought it'd be someone to share my faith. I don't even know what that looks like. But people have to know what God's done in my life. I want God to do what for them what he's done for me. And it's you just cannot contain it. So it leaks out in your conversation. It leaks out in your perspective. It leaks out in your marriage if you're married. It leaks out towards your kids if you have them. It leaks out towards your parents. You just can't keep it to yourself. This is the dream. And so how does that solve the problem? The way it solves the problem is that if there's a life change that's that contagious, it means that there's an awesome God because he's the one doing it. All right? And if God is using a group of people called the church to help bring about that life change, that means that the church is worthwhile. And if he's using you, and when I say you, I also mean me. If he's using you as part of that church, that means that you can be used to change the world. That's why that's the solution to the problem. That's what I want for you. But is it realistic? I mean, is it realistic to actually have the type of faith that you just can't contain? And I'm not talking about you're going knocking on doors or doing things that you're like, well, I'm not going to be a person that's, you know, oh, you're this. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about you just have it in you. And because God loves you, you love other people. That's how you share your faith. You know, it's having integrity when you don't want to have integrity. No, it's reaching out to that friend, student, that person, not even that person that no one else wants to hang out with in school. I mean, you have wisdom when you do that. But you say, you know what, that person doesn't have any friends. And the reason why I do this is because God made me his friend. You can't keep it to yourself. And so when someone says, man, nobody would come hang out with me, why'd you do it? And then that's your opportunity right there. But is it realistic? I mean, is it just kind of like pie in the sky? Is it just not? I mean, is it? Look, Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl. So I'm thinking team. And so we're wearing our shirts and I'm thinking team. And I was going to wear my Clyde Drexler jersey. But I said, no, I'm going to wear my Tony Dorsett jersey. But this is my favorite jersey that I own. My brother gave me this. All right, so how many of you seen the Glory Road? Anybody seen that movie, Glory Road? Anyone? All right, and so Texas Western, now UTEP. I went to UTEP, all right? That's where I went to school, to college. And so they were Texas Western in 1966. and they made history. Don Haskins, the coach, if you saw Glory Road, you might know the story. The coach, he did something that nobody did before him. Nobody. And it's interesting when you actually do something no one's ever done. That's you're a difference maker, right? Well, what he did was he was the first guy to start five African-American players and win the national championship. It's a really, really good story. And the reason why it's special to me is, well, one, it's an El Paso thing. I'm from El Paso. Another reason is because my brother, my older brother, actually, years later, got to coach with Don Haskins. You know, in fact, my brother was part of a team that he helped take him to the Sweet 16. So that's pretty cool. They beat number two Kansas to get there. And so this is really kind of my favorite thing. So when you think about team, if you like that team, you can imagine the obstacles. You can imagine the obstacles. Go watch that movie, Glory Road. I recommend it. Whenever a team, and not just sports team, we're thinking any team, any group of people, when they want to accomplish a bigger-than-life type goal, this is how it usually starts. It starts with one or two or a handful of people that look at that ultimate goal, and they look at themselves in the mirror, and they look around at the team. And at one moment, they say, you know what, guys? You know what, gals? I think we got a shot. And then people are like, man, that's great. Kind of pie in the sky. I mean, but is it really realistic? And then they get on a mission. And those people that were doubting are watching this man or this woman on a mission. The crazy thing happens. They start to believe it too. And that changes how they start to move and shake and everything. And it's like, wow. And they start to buy in. And they start telling people, I think we got a shot. And when you have a group of people that think they really have a shot at reaching an ultimate goal, look out. Listen to me. We've got a shot. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your past sin. It doesn't matter. You have a shot to be part of that. We have a shot together to see this ultimate goal, to see this vision be real. I'm telling you. May not look the way we think, but it's going to be special. We have a shot. So, truth is, though, it won't just happen. It's not going to just happen. And I think sometimes when you're on that team, whether it's at work, on the field, or the band hall, or whatever, wherever that team is, some people think, yeah, we got a shot. But then they think it's just going to happen. We had a volunteer meeting. I said, what's team? And the volunteer said, well, it's commitment. It's sacrifice. It's trust. It's saying, all right, what happens to you happens to me. What happens to me happens to you. What happens to you happens to us. That's team. Because it's not going to just happen. You've got to be very, very, very intentional. So how would we experience that vision? I mean, how? First and foremost, we have to say, we can't change lives. We can't do that. We don't have any power to do that. God's the only one that actually changes lives. The only thing we can do is create places. Let me use the word environments, okay? Create environments where people are more likely to experience the three vital relationships. Right? We can create the environment. And so let me explain. All right, when you think about an environment, you think about two things. You think about kind of the feel, right? Just kind of like how it feels. And you think about the look. So you walk into a place and the stuff that you see. So let's say that you have a person and you've said, man, I just wish God could just grip them because they need it. Think about a person that's in your life. Maybe that's you. But think about that. I just wish that, and they're not open to it, but I wish that God could just get a hold of them because, man, they just need the Lord. So that's the person. Let's say that you're part of a church, maybe this one, and you invite them in all the right ways. You don't run them off. You're wise about how you do it, but you invite them and you invite them and you invite them. And then it takes a couple years, and then one day you're driving up here and you're running a little late, and they're saying, hey, they call you up and say, hey, and they're like, hey, I don't see your car. And they're like, what are you talking about? Say, well, I'm in the parking lot. outside where your church meets, and it's been years. And you're like, ah. Immediately you're thinking, okay, don't blow it, Pastor, with the sermon. You know, hope the music. You start going through all these things in your mind. So let me ask you a question. When they walk into the environment, let's say that you got stuck, your car died. No. The one time they show up, and your car died, and they just said, well, and you're thinking, well, you don't have to. I'll go with you next week. No, I'm already here. I might as well go in. All right, let me ask you a question. What, and this is one, give me very quick answers, and we might just give me permission. I might go 5, maybe 10 minutes longer because we have a lot to cover today. So they walk in. What do you want them to experience? First, let's talk about the feel. All right, so when they walk in, what do you want them to experience?
Like they've been there before.
Like they've been there before, so they feel welcome. They feel like it's home. Yeah, that's good. Feel comfortable. They feel welcome. All right, they feel absolutely welcome. What else?
No pressure.
No pressure, exactly. Yeah, there's no pressure. What else? Give me a couple more. That you have a place for them. Right. One more. I said one more. No, I'm just kidding. You said God's presence. They feel something's happening. Even if maybe they're not a God person, all of that, but like, is it, someone else over here said something?
Lively.
What's alive? Right? They'll walk in and, you know, I attribute it, and right or wrong, when I was, you know, back in the days going to bars and all that type of stuff, you walk into a bar and it's like, I'm not hanging out here. It's dead. Right? But I'm going to go to the next one. I want a place that's hopping. Right? And we're not gonna be hopping, but we're gonna. Some churches are hopping that way, but we don't hop. You know, I got some hops. Well, I used to have some. I don't have hops no more. No, but we want them to feel all those things and welcome, and then even the look of it. If they walk in and they have kids, you want them to walk in and be like, okay, I don't know where to go. No, you want them to know where they're going, right? You want them to walk around. If they're dropping off a kid, it's, man, I feel a little strange about this. I'm gonna drop. But I'm not. You don't want it to be like, man, is that even safe? I mean, it didn't look like a kid's room, and it doesn't really look engaging or fun. It didn't look secure. Oh, man, I'm nervous about that. That's not what you want, right? So when that person shows up, you don't want that. No, the environment. And so we can't make life change happen, but we can create an environment where it's more likely to happen, because if we're not that, if that friend of yours or that family member shows up and it's not that, imagine they don't feel welcome. Imagine they feel judged. Imagine they feel like everybody's looking down on them, or they feel like they're not dressed the right way and all that. Well, let me ask you, if that's the case, do you think they're going to be open to what the Lord might have to say? The Lord can do what he wants. He could still do it through messed up people like us. But it's less likely for them to want to hear what we have to say if that's how we treat people. More than likely, they'll be like, if that's what Christians do, then I don't need that. I already got that in my life. I don't need more of that. But if we create the type of environment that's welcoming, but they don't feel judged, they feel loved, they feel welcome, then they're more likely to be open to hear what the Lord absolutely has to say. And so all we can do is really create those environments. Now, back to the dream. Back to the vision. Now, remember, back to the Morpheus house. We were meeting in the blue room. They called it the blue room. They threw me off by painting the walls. So still the blue room for me. And but again, what I pictured was all about people. It was about people growing in those relationships. It was people in every environment that you could imagine actually growing in faith, growing in all those things. That's what I pictured. It was not a building. And this is why we have community groups. I think we have a slide. Community groups, if you know what that is. Yeah, our community groups. And so we have people that gather, you know, and we have different environments for, like, our teens and all that type of stuff. But people, they hang out. People hang out. They meet for friendship, and they encourage each other, and they kind of figure it all out. I said, how do we grow in faith? We're figuring it out together. This is why we have all this. And I'll say this, like Men's Monday Night, the environment's been created where people are more likely to experience life change. I mean, all different backgrounds. Some people don't know the Bible at all. Some people know it a little bit more. I mean, yes, different backgrounds. You can't imagine the stories. I mean, but I tell you something. Ask any man that goes to that regularly. Life change is happening. It's happening. It's a beautiful thing. And this is why we have other community groups. And this is why we do that. And I would even say that the best environment we can create, the best one we can actually create, because we can't, is the community group. The reason is because people can grow in all those relationships, those three vital relationships, all at the same time. So it's the most strategic, it's the best place that we can create. But let me say this. There's exceptions even in our men's group. Most people won't just jump into that environment, though. They're not just going to jump in to, that's the men's group. In fact, we're starting fresh tomorrow if you want to jump in. Most people will not just go to community group that we meet, friends and all that. There are exceptions, but if 18 years of experience of thinking about this has shown me anything, except for the exceptions to the rule, most people won't go do that first because, first, I don't really know anybody, and then what are you praying? What you talk about, what's going to ask me to, I don't know the Bible, I don't talk about that stuff. And it's like, man, I'm just going to, I don't know. Most people just simply will not jump into a community group. It's just too big a step. For a lot of people within the church, it's just been too big a step, right? I know. Well, what this means, you know, the Bible tells us, it says, you know, go make disciples. There's a whole verse, but basically go and share your faith. It doesn't say wait for them to come to us. We've got to go. We don't say, hey, come meet us where we are in our community groups. No, we've got to go to people. So if that's too big a step, the community group, then people need an easier step. We need to give people an easier step. For most people in our culture, the easiest step is Sunday morning. People will more than likely be like, well, I mean, even if they had bad experiences, if you build enough trust with them, if you hang out with them and they get to know you and you're a good friend to them, then more eventually they'll probably, if they're going to take a step, they're going to take a step towards Sunday morning. I mean, that's the one step that they might take. So that means that Sunday morning is crucial as a first step. And I always say Sunday morning is so important because it leads to things more important than Sunday. But that's the first step. That's the one that most people are going to take. And if we don't get Sunday right, I'll say it this way. How likely are people to experience the vision if you don't get Sunday right? If they take their first step and they're like, do you think they're going to go to community group? You think they'll ever serve? You think they'll ever love one? I mean, God can do anything. But they're more likely not going to want more. If they show up and they're like, well, Sunday, I don't think I want more. So Sunday is so crucial because it points toward more. So we've got to get Sunday right. All right, now, so I mentioned that there was going to be an announcement. So this is the announcement. To be able to create the best first impression, the first step for people, the Sunday environment, to be able to create the best one we could possibly create, it's time for our church to start taking steps to meeting in our own building. This is just where we are right now. Because imagine being in a place, in a building, and being able to dream. How can we create the type of environments? We're limited in a school. To create the type of environments where people are more likely to experience life change. To more likely say, you know what, I think I'm coming back. Let's check that out. Now, all right, I'm going to, y'all know what is it a meme? Is that how you say it? So you get a picture and you put funny words to it, and you see them all over like Facebook and all that time. What is it called, a meme? Is that, am I saying it right? One time I called it a mem, and I was made fun of by one of our students, and it wouldn't be nice to say who did made fun of me, but if you want to ask Emily about it later, you can. So let me give you an example of a mem, a meme, all right? See, this is funny. See, you take a picture and you put a funny saying, and it says, you know, it's what it is, and people do that, and it's funny. So let's see the next one. It's just a little bit funny, right? Have you ever had that happen? You hear it, and I'm like, wait a minute, and you look behind you. All right, and so one of my favorite ones is there's this, it's always with the words, one does not simply, and then they add something to it. And so I think that's the next one. Let's show the next one. And this is the picture. Anybody know who is that? Someone say. What's that? Say it loud. Yes, okay, so it is in a movie. And so one does not simply resist bacon. So it's a funny picture, right? And so now let's show another one. And I'm not, are you a dog person or a cat person? Neither. But for you dog people or animal people, this one. Now, I don't know if this is the next one, but Jason picked one, and she just threw it in there, and so I don't really know what it is, and so it might be this one. I don't know if it's this one or not. Okay, now that's the one that Jason, I'm not sure why she put that in there. You can talk to her afterward. I don't, but if you ask her the question about it, then this, so you know. All right, well, okay, so moving into a building, I think, what's the next one? Give me one more, Lester. All right, one does not simply move into a building. That's my whole point. One does not simply move into a building like, okay, well, we got time till the Super Bowl. Let's just go ahead and go to the, you know, it doesn't just happen where you say, okay, let's go move into a building. We have to take steps in order to get there. And so our first step, the reality is we can't get there unless we concentrate first on here, right? Remember what I talked about, you know, it's one thing to say, man, we've got a shot. You know, but if your actions don't follow, then it's just not going to happen. And so we've come a long way from meeting in our living room, and some of you were there for that. That was something. And we met, if you remember Leon, we had his place, and we met there for a little while. That was interesting. That was cool. And then we met over at the dance place. And so, I mean, looking around right now, I mean, with what we started out, we didn't have an organization or denomination saying, here's money, here's, you know, instruments, here's band members, you know, just go for it. No, we didn't have any of that. We started from scratch. And so if you started at the beginning, then you know. I mean, we really have come a long way. Now for us, it's time to move Sunday here where we are to another level. Because there's so much at stake. Because this is the first step people will so often take. And so it's going to take leadership. It's going to take equipped volunteers who are on a mission. You know, we're going to think about the feel. And we're going to think about the look. We need both. It's like two wings on a plane. Like the feel, that's part of where we have a spiritual growth, a strategy behind this. So the feel of it when it comes to welcoming and how we're going to help groups be that place where people are more likely to experience life change and feel welcome and all those type of things. That's part of it. But what I'm concentrating on today is the look, the place when people walk in. Remember the environment that you all came up with some stuff. If someone that you knew was coming in for the very first time that you would want, and they'd want it, if they have kids, they want it to look secure. You know, there's a reason why Chuck E. Cheese, you know, if they didn't have that little thing, if they didn't have the right security, it would be a great reason for parents not to have to go to that place, right? But they have the security measure. You put the thing that you have to put under, and you can actually see it. And it's like, well, if that wasn't there, it's like, I'm not so sure about Chuck E. Cheese. I'm not going to go. I don't feel secure. Well, parents dropping off, the security that's involved is very important. I mean, it's little things. You don't even realize. You know, I started counting. You know, any place that welcomes people has signs. If you're starting a place, what signs do we need? Do you realize that right now we have like 15 less signs than we need just to be a place that's not frustrating people that show up for the first time? I mean, it's really crazy. You know, when a parent goes into the kids' environment, it's like, hey, this is a gym. Gym's all right and all that, but I mean, it doesn't feel warm. I mean, I don't see color. I don't see, you know, I just don't see stuff that I need, you know. And so there's some certain things that we really need to do, and I won't go far into it. But an engaging environment is critical. You know this. I mean, every business that has an engaging environment, Starbucks didn't, you know, make their money because of overpriced coffee. They have an environment that every person, you can go to meet someone for the first time there. You can go to someone that you're getting to know. You can go there with people that you've known for a really long time because of the environment. It's amazing what an environment can do. If you just put white walls and just put out some things, it's amazing the difference that it makes. Just the environment. And so we're going to take some steps. And so here's some just some picks. Just real quick. I mean, we're just going to kind of, see, you know those little ones that we have in the Ballard on 544, those little tin signs? Nobody knows they're there. It makes a big difference. Now, we're not changing our name. We're not going to get those specific signs. But it's a big difference when people are like, hey, all right. I see that. I see it. What's the next one? And let me know when the last one is. See the difference between the top and the bottom? It's just different. It's just a more welcoming environment. I'm not saying we do exactly this, but let's hit the next one. You know, our little signs, they're terrible signs. Or our counter, our check-in table, stuff like this. When people walk in, I have a friend that walked into his building and said to himself, you know what, if someone walked in for the first time, I think they would feel these people ain't going anywhere. But it's completely different when you walk in and say, man, I think they're going somewhere. What's the next one? Do we have another one? Another picture? See, I mean, it's little things like that. Is that the last one? One more. You see, I mean, again, that's when it comes to a kid's environment, it's a big difference. Does it really make a big deal? Does it make a big deal that Disney knows what they're doing when it comes to how to engage kids? Does it matter to you how students are engaged or kids are engaged or you're engaged or when that person that shows up and you got a flat tire so you can't be here when they walk in, whether or not they're engaged? It makes all the difference in the world. Because if you don't have both, if you don't have welcoming, it can look great. They're not coming back. It can look great, but if you're not welcoming, they're not coming back. It's two wings on a plane. Both are important. So we're creating a first step. We're going to, in fact, I'm going to hand these out in a second. Not quite yet. I'll give them to you, Sean. You can start to pass them out. So here's what we're doing. Now, the stuff what I'm talking about right now, if you're visiting our church or if this is not your home church, I'm glad you're here because you can see what we're about. You can see the vision, where we're going. But when it comes to the things I'm talking about right now, it's not for you. This is for people to say, this is my home church, and I'm part of it. I'm all in, all right? So I just want you to know that, all right? And if this is one of your first times, we talk about money like once every 6 months. You know, so we don't do it often. We don't even pass the plate here, so, you know, just so you know. But we're going to create a first step that there's so much at stake with our first step, and so we can't blow it. And so we're going to take steps to make this an engaging first step. And so it's a step toward us being in our own building because we don't have the resources right now to be in a building. We don't have the people we need to be in a building. So this is the first step to going in that direction. So imagine we do this. Imagine we say we go out, we come up with a plan, and we create, we dream big. And we've already started looking at stuff. We have a lot of ideas. But imagine we do this. Imagine that we give, imagine that we serve, imagine that we lead, and we do all these things, and we invite everybody we know because we are invested in what's going on, and imagine we do all that by Easter this year. About 7 weeks away, March 27. Imagine being here on Easter, and you're just thinking, man, what's going to happen? I invited like 30 people. Who's coming? Imagine being nervous. Imagine seeing that person and being excited when they walk in. So, Sean, can you pass these out? Let me show you. You don't need to look at this now because I think we have it on a slide. This is what I'm asking you to be part of the team. If this is your home church, I'm asking you, it doesn't matter if you're a student, it doesn't matter if you're an adult, to be part of the story. Everybody loves a good story. Yeah, everybody loves a good story. And this is beginning of the next stage for us. And so they're handing those out right now. I'm asking you to commit. So what does this mean? What does this look like? Well, connect. It means we need to develop the type of community group environment that's going to be engaging when people take that scary first step in. So it's being checking that box. We're going to turn these in next Sunday and saying, I will connect. Some of you are already doing that. I will serve. I'm going to help make it happen. It's not enough for me to sit back and watch others make it happen. I'm going to invest. I am going to serve. I'm going to help make it happen. I want to be part of that team. I want to be part of a story. I want to be part of something that's big. And so I'm going to serve. I will invite. Oh, it's hard to invite. I'm nervous and all that. I'm going to invite. We're going to help you with all this stuff. It's not just going to just start to do it. No, we're going to help you take a step from wherever you are. Invite. That's a big part of it. Now, the last one, give. Let me just break that down, what that looks like, and then we're going to close. And again, I told you it was going to be a little bit later just because of what we're going through, we're talking about today. All right, so the giving, that's part of it. If you want to be engaged with our church, it's really those four things. That covers really all of it. Everything kind of comes under that. The first one is percentage giving. And we've been given so much. And so we give as those who have been given so much. And we talk about money sometimes because we know that if anything grips us, it's money. You know, and if we can release the grip on money, then it releases its grip on us. Not only that, we always say it. God doesn't want something from us. He doesn't need our stuff. He wants something for us. And being released from the grip of money is for us. It's big. And so percentage giving is something that if you follow the Lord is what we're called to do. Now, we're not getting into, there's a bunch of jumping around we could do. We're not saying, well, I'm just saying, take a step from wherever you are. If you don't give, I'm saying, if you're going to be part of the team, then I say, take a step, give. Make it a percent. I'm not saying make it 10%. We're not going to go into all the details about what that means and doesn't mean. I mean, but if you've never percentage give, start with 3%. If you're in, I'm speaking to those who are saying I'm in. If you've already done 3, go to 5. Maybe 10% is your next step. Maybe you've given 10 your whole life and say, I'm going to go beyond that. And I know that's scary. I have entire sermons that we can send you to help you understand why would we even talk about that. But we're asking you to commit to say, I will percentage give. I don't see who gives what, just so you know. Just so you know, other people do that. But so it would check that. I commit to doing that till the end of May. Now, this is something we're supposed to always do. That's not even being generous. That's just what the Lord calls us to do. We check that box through the end of May because we're going to go into the next stage right about that time. The next one is over and above. We've done over and above before. When we did Charity Water was, all right, they don't touch each other. Our percentage giving is here. All right, it's right over here. This other part, this offering, is something completely different. So we did Charity Water. We raised enough money, over $5,000, to give to people in Africa who do not have clean water, which wrecks generations of people. And so as a result of not taking, I'm going to take from the percentage. I'm going to give toward, no, percentages by itself. We took and we raised $5,300 to give to people in Africa who now have clean drinking water, 151 people. That was important. We did last year, we did Be Rich. What do you mean Be Rich? Be Rich in Good Deeds. This is what we did. So we had our very first offering ever. You know, we have our stuff over there. We leave it there where people give. But when we actually passed, we didn't have a plate, so we had to find something to put it in. And so what did we do with it? We gave every penny away. Well, we still have a little bit left. Yesterday, I'm at a men's breakfast with some of the guys, and what do? Part of the plan. Some of it's specific to specific needs, jackets and clothes and people that need lost jobs, car accidents. We did a lot of stuff with it. Well, yesterday, one of the random things we did is the person that always serves us at our men's breakfast, we said, oh, by the way, here. This is a gift from our church to you. That was another example of over and above giving when we did Be Rich. And that's what we're talking about now. So I want you to pray. God, what would you have? Think about what you spend on Starbucks a month. Think about your hobbies. Think about what you don't have a problem spending on. Think about recreational stuff. And say, man, I'm going to challenge you guys to, and when I talk to you, I talk to me. Challenge you to help us make the type of environment where people are more likely to experience life change. Some of you, I know for some, if you don't have a job, don't worry about it. We know that you'd give if you could. No, you don't worry about that. You know, if you're out of work, no. We're here to support you. In fact, you come and we'll help you. This is what we do. Now, the rest of us, some of us, $200, I've never done anything like that, and it's a stretch, and it's hard, and all that, and it's sacrificial giving. Tell you what, you never regret giving as the Lord leads, never. You'll regret losing money, you'll regret wasting money, investing it poorly, maybe you'll regret loaning it to family, but you're never going to regret giving as the Lord leads. You never, never will. And so I challenge, some of you could write a $5,000 check and be like, man, there you go. Some of you can't. So as the Lord leads, and I want you, once you know what you're going to give, we want it by March 8th, but if you can write the check now, do it, because we want to get moving on this. We want to get moving on it, all right? So March 8th. And let me give you, I'm going to give you two goals. The goal for the percentage giving, right now it takes about $6,700 just to function. We're not talking about pouring into our students, into our ministries, nothing. It's just to function, okay? A lot of times we don't even get that. Sometimes we don't even get that. And so, $6,700. If we commit to percentage giving, I have a goal, and I think we'll reach it. And it would be $8,000 a month, which I would meet with some others, and we would budget. And part of that goes toward the future building. And just so you know, $6,700 for us, I raise part of my salary just through relationships and all that people give. So between that and what me and my wife give, off that $6,700, it's like $1,500 off. So we really, as a group, should be able to pour it in. $6,700 should be nothing for us. $8,000 should be nothing for us. But that's the goal. Now, the over and above goal, I think, Lester, do we have another slide that shows our other goal? I have it broken down elsewhere. But basically, the pipe and the draping, when they showed the school, the schools and had the color stuff along the side, that's the pipe and drape. But when it comes to signage, when it comes to curriculum, when it comes to, I mean, our setup teardown, I want to say to the setup teardown team, we're going to be wise because we are not going to destroy you and your bodies by adding so much stuff. No, no, we're going to add some stuff, but we're not going to overdo it. But this is kind of our goal. And it'd be great if we just blow it out of the water. And I'll tell you what, if we had 10,000, we know how to use that. If we had 25,000, we know how to use that. If you gave $100,000, I'm not saying that's going to happen. We know how to use it because this mission and this vision is big. It is huge. So that's it. That's the goal. So I'm asking you to go home and pray. I'm asking you to commit. And students, you're not out on this. I mean, some of you have jobs and it's so precious because now you have money. Well, don't let money start to grip you now because it gets harder and harder the older you get. And remember, God doesn't need anything from us. This is for us, right? Not from us.
Is that for you?
No, that's just between, that's for Easter.
Oh.
That's between now and Easter. No, that's between, that's the over and above, the goal we're trying to get in order to create the type of environment. And really, that's bottom line, too, because there's a whole lot more stuff that we really, really could do, and I'd love to do. That's really bottom line. Thank you for asking if I wasn't clear on that. All right, so there's a lot to happen between now and then. You turn that card in next week, you know, and I ask, if you're going to percentage give, start today. I already wrote my check. Well, percentage give. You know, that means if we're out of town, we give. That means that's just what we do. And we're talking about changing the world. This is no small thing. And I'm asking you to commit. So what's the reason we do this? And I'm going to close. The reason we do this is because I would rather not exist as a church than be part of the problem. Let's put the problem back up, I think. Because if we are part of the problem, that impacts our students who are going to go away months away, and they're going to decide for themselves whether or not they're ever going to be part of a church again. It impacts our younger kids. It impacts our marriages. It impacts those who are single. It impacts you. We will not be part of the problem. Let's go to the solution. We're going to be part of the solution. And I'm telling you guys, I look at this. I look at who the Lord has brought along, and we've got a shot. A shot. We don't have a shot. I'm going to tell you what we have. Because when Jesus talked about the church, the ecclesia, when he talked about the group that he was starting, you know what he said about it? He didn't say, you got a shot. He says it's going to be an unstoppable force. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what we're going for. There is no mission like God's mission. If you've ever wanted to be part of a team in your life, most people don't go for it. This is your opportunity to go for it. It's a place for you to be part of this team. Just imagine being part of a church where the life is just so contagious. We can't possibly keep it to ourselves. Let's pray.